anxiety hacks, proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Listen with therapist and author Kate Hudson-Hall as she chats with professionals who share with us excellent ways to calm your anxious behaviours. For more help to relieve your anxiety, check out her exceptional book, Anxiety Hacks, on Amazon.
Hello and welcome to Anxiety Hacks. I'm your host, Kate Hudson-Hall, and before we begin, my book, Anxiety Hacks, has just launched as an audiobook, which I'm very excited about. So check it out. It's on all the major platforms. Now, joining me today is Deborah Kofi, a registered professional counsellor and founder of HealthStream Counselling and Wellness, with over 30 years of experience in the field. With her unique toolbox of resources, Deborah helps individuals and groups move forward from counselling to sign language interpretation and mentoring. She brings a wholehearted approach to every client and project. Together, we'll delve into anxiety's causes and effects and effects and solutions. So join us as we share insights and strategies and empowering hacks to overcome anxiety and find peace of mind. So Deborah, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. It's lovely to be here with you.
Yes, thank you. So we were just talking before about where you are in Canada. And we were talking about the brown bears.
Yes.
I was curious.
Yes, it's one of those things that we get to see up here in Fort McMurray. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, fabulous. I love it. So tell us about, so you work a lot with people with anxiety. So Deborah, if somebody came to see you with anxiety, so sort of maybe you could take us through the steps of how you would work with them.
Okay. I mean, generally, the first thing is, you know, you do a consult with somebody, just why they're coming into therapy, because that's my day job sort of thing, is I work as a therapist. And people come in for a variety of reasons. Some people come in saying that they have anxiety, but many people actually come in because something specific is happening in their lives. And they have challenges around that. So they come in because I'm having this issue with my relationship. But sometimes as you do that intake, you begin to realize somebody has a lot of anxiety and this is impacting their ability to work. It's impacting relationships. It's impacting their ability to take good care of themselves. It might be something that they've had their whole life. So we're looking for all of that. And sometimes, like I say, as you had said, somebody comes in specifically maybe with anxiety. And then even if we do that, if we find it, okay, so you're here with anxiety, then we're looking for how does it show up in your life. And I think that is one of the most important steps, because we tend to say anxiety and that's very blanket. Well, I live in Canada. Wonderful. What does that mean? Canada's huge. What province, what town, what area? It's really different. And so we're too quick to say I have anxiety, but what does that mean? How does that show up? Does that show up in you have social anxiety, you have health anxiety, you have generalized anxiety, you or overwhelmed all the time, you can't sleep at night. So once we can have an idea of what it looks like, now we can go, aha. So now we have something to actually work with. And the other thing I always do is I make sure to look at where anxiety may have started, because a lot of the times anxiety is tied into past trauma. People don't think so. They just think they're anxious and there's something wrong with them. Yeah. But if their alert system is always going off, and they're not feeling safe even in their home or in daily life or even inside themselves, then there's reasons for that. And yes, sometimes there's a brain glitch and sometimes somebody might have something like obsessive compulsive disorder or it's part of other issues. But that's part of what you're trying to determine, because how you respond to that and how you work with that actually will be different.
Yeah. I always say to my clients, so, you know, they come in and they say that they're anxious. It's like, well, hang on, let's just pause there a moment. Anxiety is such a huge word.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's unraveling that and beginning to understand specifically for that person, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever, well, and I'm sure you do this actually, it would only make sense that you would, because just that whole idea of stop and pause, is with some clients, I even look at what I call artificial anxiety. And that's this when we create anxiety, because I have some clients that skip breakfast all the time and their body starts screaming at them because it has no fuel. My car screams at me when it's getting down to zero. It doesn't like not having gasoline. It won't work. Mm. Well, it's no different. People have sometimes a habit of drinking 6 or 7 cups of coffee or a lot of energy drinks, and they wonder why they can never unwind and why they're always kind of shaky. Well, until we address that, anything else we do isn't going to have success, because we've got the body screaming, saying, hey, you're not looking after me and I can't function, which means the brain is screaming, because you can't function if you don't eat properly. You can't function if you're drinking a lot of energy drinks or a lot of coffee. So sometimes we need to tackle that as part of how anxiety is showing up. What are the things that we're doing that's actually impacting it? Or sometimes, this is what's funny, sometimes it's the cause. Because sometimes yes. Once we cut out stuff like that, there's nothing else to do. It's a done deal.
Yeah. So once you sort of figure that out, what would be the next stage?
So then we look at, again, how it's impacting them. And then, like I say, I really like to break it down into as specific as possible. Because if we don't get specific, it's very hard to treat general. Because I feel anxious all the time. Sometimes when I have somebody that says they feel anxious all the time, I have them start tracking their moods and just noticing, because in a day we have a lot of emotions that go on. Every thought has an emotion. Every action has an emotion. And so I get people to try to, so awareness, that's my first tool. Become aware. Catch yourself being anxious. Catch yourself being not anxious, and then come back and bring that back and let's work with that. Because then again, now we have concrete information to work with, because lots of times solutions are in the tools. If it's connected to trauma, then it's a whole other different way of working with it. But if it's connected sometimes to thinking, if it's connected to the amygdala, so we're looking for that difference too. Is it my thoughts start me on a chain of anxiety? Or is my body screaming about something? And I don't mean the artificial anxiety now. I mean the anxiety that comes with something has triggered me. My body's responded and I don't even know why it's triggered. And I'm in that place of anxiety. So we're sort of looking for those things. And then we start to look at, once we have it as specific as we can, then we can start doing things like, okay, what do we do with that? One example is, I like people to look at an anxiety that they might be feeling. Is it past, present, or future? If it's past, then we deal with that specifically, because it's something that's past. So when that comes up, can you, that conversation with yourself, that's a past thing. Is that actually something that I need to worry about right now? And often the answer is no. So then we have strategies that we might put in place that work for them for letting that go. If it's an immediate anxiety for now, let's just say I need to get my taxes done. That's immediate, because maybe the deadline is coming. So that's a genuine reason to worry. Okay, so then what are the steps? What can I do today that takes me closer to that goal? I need it done by Friday. Okay, it's Tuesday. So what's that first step? Oh, today I'll get all my paperwork together. So in other words, then we go into problem solving. So problem solving becomes how we use present anxiety, how to work with that. If it's a future anxiety, that what if anxiety, yeah. And that's a lot of people where we go. And then it's like, well, what if? And we run, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just because Fort McMurray is an example, say it's the town that had a big fire 7 years ago.
Mm.
And right now there's a lot of forest fires on the west side of the province. I have a lot of people coming in with their anxiety around, yeah, but there's fires over there. What if? Okay. Yeah. So, and then we have to run through what if we get a notice that we need to leave? Are you prepared? So we have to run through all of this. What are the strategies we need to do? And then look at, so that's a future worry. What if? What do you do today to be prepared for, say, another call to evacuate if we had to go? And then, so it's realizing if it's a future what if, it's like, oh, most what ifs don't happen. So if it's not immediate, if there's something that I can do to address what might happen, then I take that one step. And that's the point. It's the one step, not the worry for the next 6 weeks. What's my one step? And so sometimes just doing that, past, present, or future, can really help you decide how to tackle it.
Yeah. So what if somebody came along and they didn't know specifically what was causing their anxiety? They didn't know what the triggers were. What would you say?
Then we become a detective. Then we want to be really curious. The more we can be
narrowing
curious,
it down even further.
Yep. And then we get into things like just something as simple as what I call the it's called a question that I have people ask. And it's really simple and it blows me away how quick it works. I mean, when people start to feel that anxiety, the first question is, do I actually need to be anxious about this right now?
Yeah.
And it blows me away. It's like somebody coming along and snapping their fingers in front of your face, and it snaps you out of whatever's going on, and it makes you go, oh, no, actually I don't. Okay. So I can let that go. All right. So if I don't need to be anxious about this, then once we're back in our prefrontal cortex, what's actually going on? And then I can start looking at what I call my 2-minute rule. Do I need something to take me out of overwhelm for the moment? And most of us, sometimes all we need is a couple minutes for our brain to come back online. My strategy, usually if I'm at home, I do dishes because I always have dishes to do. I only need to do them for a couple minutes. My brain is happy because it goes, okay, I've done something that's appropriate. I've gotten something done. That's great. And often if I'm moved into overwhelm, that will calm me very quickly. Just takes a couple minutes. And then I can go, okay, what's that next thing I have to do? But you notice I'm saying, what's that next thing? What's not all the stuff?
Yeah.
So once we can get the brain back online and we get the anxiety scared down, we're actually able to move sometimes back into a calmer place and start working with our normal tools.
Yeah.
So that's kind of some of that stuff when we feel like we're anxious all the time. Generally, once people start practicing strategies, once they begin to understand their own anxiety and where it might be coming from and why, a lot of the times that is huge just in solving issues.
Yeah.
Again, it's building an individual toolbox. And as they do that, that's where the solutions come for them, because mine might show up differently.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to be different if it ties back to trauma, because trauma creates anxiety. We live in fear all the time if we've had trauma that's unresolved. And it can be single event, or it can be complex events of childhood, or people that have been in domestic violence. They might be looking over their shoulder all the time, even though they're safe now. They're out of it. They might have been out of it for sometimes 20 years. I've worked with women, and they're still looking over their shoulder. Because that's fear, and that fear is anxiety. And that was there to protect them. So sometimes understanding that anxiety isn't always an enemy. Sometimes when we're anxious all the time, we've had to learn that at some point of our life. So that started to help us actually be healthy and do well. But maybe it's no longer serving us.
Yeah.
So now maybe that part of us, we have to ask, can we protect us in a different way? Can we use that strategy in a different and more healthy way? So instead of having to be anxious to be healthy or be anxious to be safe, can we realize that at that anxiety energy, can we put it into nurturing ourselves or into coaching ourselves? When we feel anxiety coming on, go, oh, there's that response again. Now, what do we want to do with that? So yeah, just different little ways. And again, you practice and you work with it, and it's not necessarily always easy, but it is doable. And moments we lose the battle, but whatever, right? We're all going to eat chocolate sometime, so to speak.
Absolutely. And so what would be other strategies, other examples that you would help people with anxiety to begin to break those patterns?
Yep. Some of the other things is I really love to have people ask themselves, is this an appropriate reason to be anxious? Because sometimes clients say, I never want to feel anxious. Okay, I can't help you with that, because that would mean you'd have to be dead.
Yes. Yes.
We all have anxiety at some point, and sometimes it's appropriate. If I'm walking in the forest and I see a bear, I want to get anxious right now.
Yes.
Because I want that energy to gear up to know how to respond. And hopefully I have a plan on how to respond. And if not, well, okay. Your anxiety needs to be there. So sometimes anxiety is appropriate. And actually, This is the other thing that I really love to teach clients is that when we think about anxiety, excitement is exactly the same chemicals in the body. The only difference is what the brain does. So when we're feeling anxious, why are we feeling unsafe? So I like them to ask that question, what is making you feel not safe? So rather than I'm anxious right now, but what's making you feel not safe?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just I have an uncomfortable feeling in my body. Okay, so that's making you not feel safe. Can we make your body feel more safe in this moment? So sometimes it's looking at it differently can also make a difference. So, and I encourage clients to understand that when those chemicals come on, we can't just stop it. If anybody's ever drank 3 cups of coffee, you know you're going to be wired. And then people will talk too quickly, and then they worry about what they say and all that. So, but you can't just stop the effect. Well, you know, shouldn't I just be able to calm myself down? And it's like, why? When we get pushed into anxiety, the body produces a bunch of chemicals to take us to that place.
Yeah.
It's there for a reason. But what it means is that sometimes people think, well, I have these calming strategies, they're not working. Uh-huh. It's because the chemicals have yet to subside. So use the strategies because they'll encourage your body to create calmer chemicals, which will help neutralize the anxiety chemicals, but it still takes time. So you have to be prepared to allow your body to have the time to come down from the anxiety rush or the caffeine rush. And that's a comparison I like to use because most of us understand what it's like to have too much coffee.
Yeah.
And so we understand we're just not going to be able to be as calm as we would like to until it kind of comes down. And it's the same with anxiety. If we've had an anxiety rush for some reason, something has caused a spike of anxiety, even though we use our tools and those are appropriate to use, it still takes time for the body to get regulated and back to baseline, whatever that happens to be for the individual, right? So those are some of those, I guess, psych ed stuff I like people to have. And then, like I say, I love people to start catching themselves when they're not anxious. Because the more they can realize that they're not anxious, most people are not anxious 24/7. They think they are, but they're actually not. We tend to all have a tendency to focus on 5 minutes in a day. My favorite illustration is I missed the bus. I have a great lunch with a friend, but I missed the bus. I get to see some beautiful flowers, but it doesn't matter because I missed the bus. And everything that day is about, I missed the bus. So I miss my day because I missed the bus. Even though I found a way to get to work, it doesn't matter. I missed the bus. So when we get into an anxiety loop that has become our pattern, it's really hard to break that loop until we begin to realize, yes, I'm holding that. So can you let it go?
Yeah.
And it might want to come back up for attention and go, I know, I missed the bus and that was painful today. And then move back to, but right now I want to focus on whatever I'm focusing on. And it's the same thing with our anxiety. And again, sometimes there's a brain glitch, and there's OCD. So there is some unique things. And that's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes when we're working with that, we may work differently, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that people shouldn't take medication or use maybe supplements, because sometimes they're really appropriate for some people too. So it's knowing that there's a whole range of ways to deal with it. And it really depends what the cause is and what kind, because social anxiety might be quite different from health anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it just depends specifically on, you know, what sort of anxiety you have.
Yes. Yeah. I'd really like to say, Kate, is there anybody in the world at some point that doesn't have anxiety, really?
No.
No.
No, because it's part of, it's an emotion that we all have.
Yeah. And I think COVID, I would say just noticing how we went through COVID, and everybody went through it in one way or another. But what I have noticed is an example where I work, the wait list we have is way different than what it was before COVID. It's so much longer. So the anxiety that people have developed from COVID, it seems to have really impacted people. Not too many of us have ever been through a world pandemic, right? So
yeah,
we've all
so it kind of makes sense that people would be so much more anxious now. And, you know, we were locked down and then the doors were open over here and then we were locked down again. And then we've got the whole Ukrainian war going, rumbling on and then the economic crisis. So it's hardly surprising that we are where we are with anxiety.
Yeah. So there, and it's, again, that comes down to what's making you not feel safe, right? And then there's been a lot of just people have felt pulled apart on various issues and stuff, right? Which causes, again, anxiety. So those polarizations affect people. I mean, and then there's all the typical strategies, the breathing. Some people like guided imagery. I like things like emotional freedom technique because it's a great way to help.
We love EFT and the tapping.
Oh, me too. Me too. And I use it really successfully with clients. And if clients can do it themselves, it's really, really lovely.
And it's great because, you know, it's so easy to teach them. And then once they've learned it, they've got it in their pocket for life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it can really help for some people. Some people don't like it, don't want to use it. Totally okay. Sometimes for some people, just going for a walk is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so Deborah, so you have a program called 30 Ways to Enhance Mental and Emotional Wellbeing that is available to the listeners if they were to email you.
Yes.
So could you tell us maybe a little bit about that and what they would learn?
Yeah, it's a program I designed a few years ago, and it's all about, as you say, enhancing positive mental health and emotional well-being. And basically over 30 weeks, you get one PDF emailed, and that PDF tends to be 1 to 2 pages, and it talks about an issue and a little bit of a strategy. One of the things that I talk about is laughter. Laughter as a way to just improve our mental health. And so we talk about why laughter works and then some suggestions for increasing laughter on a daily basis. One of the PDF talks just about why a smile makes a difference. What literally happens for us chemically when you smile at me, it makes me feel good. When I smile back, it tends to make you feel good. So we get this reciprocal thing going on with smiles, as an example. So one of the PDF talks about that and go out and smile. Now, some of them are much more detailed in that they might look at more complicated strategies. There's one about the stories we tell ourselves. And this is huge with anxiety because something happens and now I'm making meaning. So can we switch the stories we tell ourselves? So there's one PDF about that. So it's a whole lot of strategies broken down into specific PDFs, a week to try it, play with it. And because it comes in PDF, you can save it on your computer. Some people have printed it, and then they can have a binder with these strategies, and it's something that you can go back to because maybe you won't use every one of them, but they're always there to go back to. So,
Oh, Deborah. So are you working a lot online?
Yeah, I only work online, actually. Well, okay, that's not true. I only work online in my private practice. In my day job, I see people because I also work for an agency I work for an agency also. And so, yes, that's where people in town can see me in person.
Yeah. Okay, good. And so how can people, if they're interested, how could they contact you?
The best way is just to email me.
Right. And what is your email?
It's Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at healthstreamwellness.com.
Okay, good. And so we will put your details in the show notes so people can reach out to you.
Yeah. And if anybody wants the 30 ways in 30 days, I'm happy just to put them sort of on the list. That a PDF comes out usually every Sunday or Monday, and they'll just, whatever week they're on, that's the one that they would get. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Deborah, for sharing such valuable information with regards to anxiety. You know, it's going to give everybody a much clearer understanding about, you know, about their own anxiety. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. It was nice to meet you. And if you get to Canada and get to see bears, you will be really, you'll love it. Canada's beautiful. Any part of Canada, it's actually beautiful. And it's you can spend a lifetime just traveling Canada. It's amazing.
Oh, great. Let's all hop on a plane now and make our way to Canada. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And before we go, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes so you never miss an episode. And let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving us a review wherever you listen, on Apple Podcasts or CastBox or Buzzsprout or wherever. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Deborah. And I look forward to speaking to you all in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Anxiety Hacks, the podcast. If you've been affected by anything discussed in this presentation and would like further information, please go to katehudson-hall.com. That's katehudson-hall.com.